It's time to feel better with help from Dr. Suzanne Bennett. Allergies, nutrition, ultimate wellness, all discussed right here, right now. It's Wellness for Life Radio on Radio MD. Here's your host, Dr. Suzanne.
Toxins in your home. You know, mold in particular can make you really incredibly ill. My next guest is here to share just how serious mold toxicity is and what you need to know to keep your family worry-free and healthy. Please welcome my guest, Dr. Gary Kaplan. Thanks for being here, Doc. Tell us what makes mold so dangerous.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Susan.
Thank you.
Mold is a ubiquitous problem in that it occurs anytime there's been water damage to a building. So that if you have water damage to your house, water damage to your office, and that damage is not addressed, what happens is mold starts to grow back in the wallboards, can grow into the carpet. And what happens is mold secrete toxins. The toxins normally protect them in the environment. But in humans, about 20% of us can't process those toxins. We don't make the enzymes necessary to break them down. What happens is they end up accumulating in our body. But that accumulation can result in an inflammatory process in the central nervous system. And the consequences of that inflammation can be problems with difficulty focusing and concentrating, problems with depression, problems with chronic pain. You can see fibromyalgia, you can see chronic fatigue symptoms associated with this inflammatory process in the central nervous system, all caused by mold toxins. Okay, so the toxins can be so severe that we see people who look like they have multiple sclerosis, they have problems with coordination of their movements, they have problems with focus, concentration, and such severe fatigue that they can't get out of bed, muscle pains, muscle aches. And if we do not address it, we don't ask the right questions in terms of finding out that they've got mold toxicity, what you end up doing is making a diagnosis that's incorrect and not responsive to treatment.
You know, so what you're saying is that this is a hidden problem that we don't know. Even as a patient, let's say you go thinking that you have a headache or you're having some allergy reaction, but it can truly be mycotoxic or mold toxicity that's triggering these symptoms. And you say that it's dangerous because it's a hidden inflammation in our body. Can you talk a little bit more about how inflammation can be detrimental to our brain?
Sure. Inflammation is a lot of different things in the body. So that if you have allergies, what's mediating that inflammation is histamine or release of mast cells in the body. But in the brain, a whole different set of mechanisms occur that cause inflammation. So in the brain, there's a small cell called the microglia. That's responsible for mediating inflammation in the central nervous system. There's a lot of things that potentially set off that microglia. So the microglia moves into action any time that there's been injury to neuronal tissue. So problems that can occur with mycotoxins, for instance, problems that can occur from Lyme disease or other infections. An example of what it looks like when the brain is inflamed is a flu. Basically what happens, you've got fever, you can't focus, you can't concentrate, you're exhausted, generalized body aches and malaise. And so one of the big mistakes we've made in medicine is that we've been treating depression, and we've been treating chronic pain conditions, headaches, problems with fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis. We treat these conditions as if they are primarily disease, and they're not. The underlying disease is inflammation in the central nervous system, and the inflammation in the central nervous system comes from a large number of causes, mold toxicity being one of them. This is a condition which affects better than 100 million people in this country, this chronic pain condition. And if you're suffering with pain and depression, that's about 20 million people in this country. They're not responsive to therapies because the therapies are geared at treating the symptoms and not treating the underlying cause, which is inflammation of the central nervous system.
Wow. So, you know, again, we are dealing with these. A lot of people have depression. A lot of people have inflammation in our body, and that it really can be a mold issue. And you mentioned very clearly that it's really like the doctor has got to be the detective. I truly believe I'm like a medical detective. I've got to figure this out. You got to ask the right questions. What should the doctors be asking a patient who may be having these mold issues?
You know, you're absolutely right about the necessity of becoming a detective as a good physician. And one of the things that patients come to me constantly and say, you know, all of my lab tests have been normal. And I say, well, but you're not normal. And so it means that we haven't tested the right things yet, so we have to go look. So there's a series of specific lab tests that we can do to evaluate. First off, there's genetic testing that we can do to evaluate whether or not you're susceptible to mold toxins and spider and tick bite toxins. There's also direct testing that can be done to look for mycotoxins in your body. It's a urine testing to be done. So you have to go to a physician who's familiar with this kind of testing and knows how to ask those kind of questions. So that becomes the first problem. If all you're doing is a blood count and you're doing C-reactive protein and a urinalysis and a metabolic profile, you're going to miss the overwhelming majority of these cases. This is specialized testing. You have to have been properly trained to do it. And if you don't ask the right questions, you don't get the right answers.
That's a great point. I know that you can go to American Academy of Environmental Medicine to find practitioners and doctors who are well-versed in this. What other organization do you suggest that the people out there, the listeners, can go to find the right doctors in their neighborhood?
Physicians who are trained in functional medicine. So the Functional Medicine Institute is a great source of physicians. The American Academy for the Advancement of Medicine is another great source. And the Academic Consortium for Integrative Medicine is a consortium of all of the medical schools of the country who are training physicians in integrative medicine, another great source where you can find physicians who understand these conditions.
Right. You're an integrative doctor, aren't you, Dr. Kaplan?
I am. Which, right. Now, integrative medicine, I want to define it a little bit for your listeners, because integrative medicine is not about doing acupuncture or doing herbs and spices, but it's about a comprehensive medical system which includes everything that's good and wonderful in Western medicine and expands the diagnosis by including things like dysfunctional medicine, being able to do acupuncture. In our center, I'm trained in acupuncture, I'm trained in manual therapies. In addition to very conventional medicine. So my boards, my specialties are in family medicine and pain medicine. So it's about keeping it all and figuring out and being able to expand your scope of knowledge and being able to help people with a whole bunch of different series of interventions, which includes supplements, but also includes conventional medicines at the same time.
Right. I know a great deal about mold toxicity because actually my son was severely allergic to them. That's really how I got into natural medicine and natural allergies. My son actually, Dr. Kaplan, was severely allergic. We had to carry an EpiPen. If he were to at all even be exposed and eat it, he would go into a major anaphylactic reaction, swelling of the throat, etc. So what we had to do is go through a great deal of learning and cleansing out the body and cleansing out those mycotoxins that you do it in your practice. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the mycotoxins come in a variety of forms. We've been focused on in terms of mold mycotoxins, but mycotoxins also occur in food. You get aflatoxins from corn products. You get okra toxins from peanuts. And so you really have to be attentive to and be your own detective somewhat when you're reacting to things you're not feeling well. What environments are you in at that time? What foods have you eaten that perhaps you didn't feel quite so well in? And a lot of times we continually poison ourselves to such an extent that it's hard to distinguish from one to the next. So what you really need to do is step back. I have my patients go on a hypoallergenic diet, which is rice, fish, chicken, fresh fruits, and vegetables, which eliminates some of the major food allergens. But then it also allows you to see what other things you may be reacting to. If you stay on that diet for a month, that'll begin to clean things up a bit. But you need to be attentive. You need to be a bit of a detective for yourself, what environment's bothering you and whether or not you're getting sicker with certain foods.
That's right. I say you all have to be an allergy detective yourself. That's awesome. Well, gosh, Dr. Kaplan, thanks so much for joining me today. You know, to learn more about mold toxicity, please go to his website, KaplanClinic.com. That's KaplanClinic.com. That's the website. Or you can always go to my radio show page on Radio MD. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing my natural strategies for ultimate health and wellness right here on Radio MD. See you next time. Thanks again. Stay well.